Welcome to the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast, where we go over noteworthy news, pop culture, and everything in between. And now, your hosts, Evan and Nicole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the final installment of our Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Myself, Evan, and my lovely co-host,
Nicole,
are going to be your guide through the final, I'm going to say episode, but it's book slash two movies combined, 7 and 8, The Deathly Hallows. But first, we have a little bit of housekeeping. Big news, Nicole and I are moving at the end of the month.
Yeah, we're actually moving in a couple of weeks. We're moving to Connecticut. We currently live in Massachusetts. So, big move. You're not going to have to listen to the Boston traffic and in the background anymore.
Nice, quiet suburbia. Nicole's coming full circle here.
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut, so I'll be back in my hometown. Evan, are you excited to live in the burbs?
I'm so excited to get away from the city. You have no idea.
I have some idea.
You have a lot of idea.
I, like, mentioned maybe, like, a year and a half ago, I was like, hey, like, would you ever consider, like, living in Connecticut? Like, thinking maybe you'd be, like... No, and I was okay with that. And you were like, yes, please, let's move now.
Sign me up. Yeah, I've been ready for this for a long time.
Yeah, so we bought a house. Pretty adulting. So we're going to take, I would say, a month off, if that ends up extending, you know, with moving stuff, because we're moving in 3 weeks. We'll keep you guys updated, because we want to settle into the house. So this is a great time to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, both at Experts Podcast. We'll still post on Instagram and Facebook, but we're just not going to be doing weekly podcast episodes.
Take a little bit of time meantime. Off to get packed, get settled.
Yeah, so we'll still maybe do like some Instagram reviews or talk about new stories on there, but we're just not going to do any new episodes in the meantime.
Yeah.
So speaking of news, we don't have any fun news stories today because we're going to leave you guys with not just the review of Harry Potter Parts 1 and 2 of Deathly Hallows, but we're going to leave you with a triple review, because after that, we're going to talk about season 2 of Umbrella Academy.
It's a double header.
Yeah.
Triple header?
Kind of.
Double triple header.
Yeah, we didn't want to leave you without some good content, so stay tuned. It's going to be a double episode. Don't have to find the second part. It's all here. So
sit back, relax, stand up, keep walking. I don't know what you're doing. Cleaning
keep driving.
House. Great, keep driving. yeah, we'll be back in a sec. Kick it off with the old Harry Potter.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome back. And as mentioned, we are going to dive into parts 1 and 2 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. So there's a lot. And like we kind of talked about with the last movie, I think reviewing it, we'd be here for days because we're reviewing two movies. Or, I'm sorry, recapping two movies. So maybe we could just kind of talk about some things we liked and didn't like. And the first thing that comes to mind is you didn't like a part of the ending that was different in the book.
Okay. All right. I'm going to kick it off with things I liked.
Okay.
And then we'll get to my grievance.
Okay. The airing of the grievances.
It's like one grievance. All right. I thought it was great and really sad how Hedwig dies. Didn't see that coming. Never read the book. Never seen the movie before.
We both teared up. I tear up every time seeing it.
I never teared up in my life. Anyway. Excuse me. That was sad. Dobby dying. Didn't see that coming. I like the whole, like, adventure for the Horcruxes that they did, where it was like, oh, let's go bop around and, like, you know, go into Gringotts and, oh, there's a dragon in Gringotts and, you know, there's gonna be a dragon because dragons like gold and dragons protect the dragon horde, you know?
Yeah.
Horde of wealth. Makes sense. Honestly surprised we didn't, like, I don't know if it's the way in the books, but I don't remember knowing anything about that before.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's brought up in before. I don't remember.
What else did I like? I liked the fact that J.K. Rowling gave herself an out by the Sword of Gryffindor being allowed to appear wherever it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, it was in the lake.
Well,
we got
Snape
it.
Put it there.
Did he, though?
Yeah.
When?
When they go back and they show, so he's dead. Harry takes his memory from his tear,
yep.
And he looks at it. And one of the things was he had it after Dumbledore died. And they show him as a Doe Patronus, which is what Lily was putting in the lake.
I miss that part.
Honey, I love you, but that's like one of the most important scenes in like
Snape
the second movie.
Dies.
He died, but
good.
Then we understand he was good and like all the stuff he was doing.
So Dumbledore's stupid.
How? Oh,
everyone's
dumb. Okay, finish your list and then we'll,
all right,
we'll go back.
Things that I also liked. The fact that Harry Potter was able to, I don't know, like, get another new wand after his wand broke. The whole wand thing is very, I feel like it changes since the first book. Because they make it seem like when you have a wand,
mm-hmm.
I know they try to, like, hand wave it away with Ollivander, but it's like you get a wand like that as your wand.
Right.
The wand picks the wizard.
I agree.
That works. And then, like, but you can use other people's wands sometimes, but not as well. It's like a gradient. Sometimes it, like, sort of listens to you.
Well, I think a lot of that was introduced to get to, the elder wand. Because, like, who controls the elder wand is, like, the person who, like, disarmed the
priest.
I think that's why that's introduced.
But that's what I mean. I feel like I don't mind that it's that way, but I feel like the wand mechanics have changed since the beginning. The onset of Harry Potter, I was led to believe it was a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, basing it off the books, I don't remember, but I didn't mind it. I feel like it was just one of the things you learned in this, like, I don't think it was necessarily hidden. It just never really came up in this, like, case before.
I feel like conveniently needed to come up. Hey, JK.
Maybe,
but anyhow,
yeah.
What else did I like? It was really good. I really liked 7. I'm going to call it 7, but it's really 7 and 8.
Yeah. Because
they're effectively one really long movie.
Yeah.
Like the Titanic. But I did, all right, I like Voldemort's whole everything when he, like, is going crazy trying to stop Harry and stop everybody.
Because every time they, like, kill a Horcrux, he knows.
Because they're killing part of him.
Yeah.
And then I really like the reveal that Harry was an accidental.
That's like
Horcrux.
One of my favorite parts. And like, I can't tell you how I felt reading that in the book. Like, it was just like, he's the Horcrux. So if you think about it, he wanted 7 parts of his soul. So he had himself, Voldemort.
Yeah.
And then Harry found all 6. But Harry thought he made 7. He was like,
yeah,
he,
that's
quote,
what
unquote,
I
made
thought
Harry.
Too, until you like help spell it
yeah.
out for me. So yeah, I thought that was really well done.
And, like, I know in the book that's how it is. I think there's just something about seeing, like, a Voldemort fetus, like, in the movie that I just didn't love how it looked. And, like, I don't know, it just disturbed me.
Yeah, it wasn't
a little
fan,
bit. I'm trying to think. So, a couple differences I was thinking about, like, as you were talking about the things that you liked before you get into your dislikes
mm-hmm.
was, if I remember correctly in the book, when they're transporting Harry, like, after he turns, or, like, when he's about to turn 17, so Hedwig dies, but that's not what gives Harry away, was, like, Hedwig protecting him. If I remember correctly, there was, like, one of the Death Eaters went to, like, send a spell, or, like, aim a spell towards Harry, and Harry did, like, Expelliarmus, and then, like, that's something Harry, like, a student would choose to do Expelliarmus, right? Like, they don't know dark magic.
Yeah.
So that's what gave, like, Harry away as, like, the real Harry. But Hedwig still dies. So, like, that was slightly different. I don't remember where it is in the book, but there's definitely more of a storyline in the final books with Lupin basically, like, going up to Harry and Hermione and Ron being like, let me come with you. Like, you need an adult. You need someone else. And Harry was like, nah. So that was, like, missed. I feel like, and again, like, I'm trying to remember this off memory, but, like, you see in Deathly Hallows Part 1, it's like, oh, like, Lupin and Tox are together, and Tox is pregnant, but that's kind of, like, skipped over. You don't see, like, the buildup of their relationship at all.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, Oh, they're together now. And also, like, the oldest Weasley brother is with Floor.
In the movie, yeah, it's just dropped on you. It's like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
We had no time to explain this earlier.
And the oldest Weasley brother, if I remember correctly, he gets... They mention in the movie, but I don't think... It's kind of like, if you blink, you might miss it. He's like, mentions he gets attacked because he has that scar on his face now. And he actually gets attacked by a werewolf. And I forget if he turns into a werewolf or not. Like, the older Weasley brother. But it's kind of like, I think his name is Charlie. They kind of, like, just skip that really quickly. Like, oh, no big deal. It just mentioned.
It's like, yep, this happened.
And then Mad-Eye Moody dies.
Oh,
off screen.
Yeah.
That we don't see.
He got the shaft.
Yeah. He was, I like him. The real Mad-Eye Moody, not when, like, not Barty Crouch Jr.
David Tennant.
Yeah.
Zoom noise eyeball. That was really funny.
We're going to see that eye again, though, at the Ministry of Magic. It's on Dolores' door. Remember when Harry, Ron, and Hermione go back? You at least see the eye.
Umbridge is the worst.
She is the worst.
Actually the worst.
So what did you not like about the final one? I know there's one big one.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the big one first. Okay. I don't like how Harry breaks the Elder Wand. That's stupid.
I totally like it. And I know stupid. That's not how it happens in the book, but I still like it.
It's so... No, because they spend all this time building it up, and then Harry is... like, the master of death now. And
but why would he want to keep it?
Nah, I don't want that. Because he's literally the master of death. He do whatever he wants. He's got the cloak. He's always had the cloak.
Yeah, but I feel like it's too much power for one person. And, like, you don't want to slip over.
Such a cop-out.
Yeah, but, like, what if he's afraid he'll slip over to the dark side or something?
I don't think he is, though.
I'm saying what if.
I doubt it.
I don't know. That part didn't bother me as much.
No, I didn't like it. Because it's really abrupt, too. It's like, oh, the fighting's over. And then it's like... end scene next day, like midday on the bridge with just Harry and Hermione and Ron, and then he's just breaking it in half.
Yeah.
And sure, you can just break the other one in half if you want to. No. Refuse.
All right. Well, one thing I didn't like about these final two was in the book, they mention it at the Weasley wedding in the beginning. One of the guests is like mentioning that someone's writing a book. Oh, Rita Skeeter's writing a book about the Dumbledore family. And they kind of get more into this in, like, the book, but turns out that, like, Albus Dumbledore, like, he didn't get along with his brother, which we kind of see, but his sister also died, and there's, like, something strange about that, and they kind of just, like, don't mention that. There's also, when Harry goes into that, like, purgatory at the end, Dumbledore, like, talks about his sister and, like, for the first time, and there's, like, a whole thing there. I just feel like that was, like, cut out. It was, like, why even mention it if, like... mention some of it, but then, like, cut out other parts. One of my favorite parts of this was, and, like, I mean favorite just because it's really cool seeing it on film, is when Harry and Hermione go to Godric's Hollow, and that woman is, like, secretly Nagini. Woman. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I was like, all right, she's a quiet old woman.
You're like, she's not talking.
And I was like, she's talking in snake speak. And I was like, okay. And then she just burst into a snake.
Nagini! I'm here.
Yeah, that was. I was like, all right.
I love that Neville's the one that kills Nagini.
Me too. Neville was the chosen one all along.
He could have been. Yeah, we really don't. That's the thing is, we don't know who the prophecy was about. Voldemort just assumed it was Harry. Didn't have to be. So Evan, I promised this to you kind of the whole time we were watching the movies. Would you like to know how the cursed child ruined Harry Potter, or would you like to live in your world of just? Harry Potter.
I want to know, but I want to go on the record again saying 2 is the best movie.
Okay. So I'm doing this from memory, but Cursed Child, for those who don't know, is the play that came out, I think, in 2013. It was written by 2 people in the UK, and I think, like, J.K. Rowling maybe wrote, like, a chapter or, like, a page. So the book, so they made a play, and then they published the script in book form. So, like, you can read it. It's essentially, like, a book. So it takes place when, so we see, okay, so in Deathly Hallows, the end, we see Harry, Ginny, and, like, all the kids as adults. It's 19 years later. They're sending now their kids off to school to, like, go to Hogwarts for the first time. So in Cursed Child, it kind of, I don't know if it takes place, like, right after that or if it's, like, a couple years after that, but essentially all you need to know is now time travel's a thing again. And Harry's son and one of Draco's sons decides to go back in time and save Cedric Diggory. and, like, stop Voldemort from coming back, like, in the Goblet of Fire, like, becoming the body form again. And I believe one of them gets stuck in that timeline, if I remember correctly. But it just, and then the second part is, wait, we're gonna just add something to the lore. Voldemort has a secret daughter, and she can time travel, and, like, she fucks with a bunch of things. It's just very weird. Like, it kind of just, like, erases a lot of canon. I think it was a good play and story, but I wouldn't consider it part of, like, the main Harry Potter canon, if that makes sense.
For, like, an offshoot, but when you do time travel stuff,
they were like, I forget how the Time Turners came back. I think, I'm doing this off memory. I think
somebody made them again.
Somebody, like, made them or brought them back, and Harry works for the Ministry of Magic. And, like, he finds one. I think his son finds it, if I'm remembering correctly. So then Harry and his friends have to save the day and kill Voldemort's daughter, I think.
That's so...
Yeah. It's kind of like... I don't know. It's hard to explain. But I didn't want to tell you until after.
Time Turners are dumb. Like, for many obvious reasons. But, like, the fact that you can go back in time and mess with the timeline is just highly... It's highly problematic when you try to make any sort of cohesive universe, because then you get stuff like this, and it's like, well, what's really...
I don't know.
If the Cursed Child is actually a part of, like, the follow-up to the seven books, then which one's real? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. Like I said, I like it, and, like, I've only read it once when I bought the book, and then I just kind of was like, I put it away in my mind.
Use it for kindling.
Maybe, but, like, I don't know. I don't know if I consider it, like, some people are like, it's the eighth book. It's not. It's its own separate thing.
It's like a short,
I don't know how to explain it,
A short story, you know, but, like, a side story.
So you still think two is your favorite?
Two is still my favorite. For the intrigue. For the lore.
So if I had to...
Tom Riddle.
If I had to rank my top three, because I don't know if I could rank them all in order.
I can rank them all.
So I would say number one is Goblet of Fire. I would say... Number two is probably Deathly Hallows. Like, I'm counting those as one. And number three, I would say, is a tie between Azkaban and Order of the Phoenix. Those are, like, my favorites. What do you think, Evan?
2, 4, 6, 7, 5, 3, 1. That's probably going to be my
order. Yeah. Yeah.
I think 2 and 4, Chamber and Goblet, I'm not going to say they're tied, but Goblet is very close to Chamber in my book.
I feel like Goblet's the turning point where, like, it goes from just, like, I feel like 1 through, I've mentioned this before, 1 through 3 are very, like, world character building, like, you're learning all the background pieces, and then, like, 4 is, like, you have half of the puzzle, and then, like, 5, 6, 7 are, like, the other half of the puzzle, like...
Yeah, 4 really raises the stakes. Yeah. And it's like, oh, people can just die.
Yeah, and, like, Voldemort's back. Like, he's here and we're living in his world again. So, yeah.
Basilisks are cool, y'all.
Did you like watching all the Harry Potter movies since you hadn't seen some of them?
I did. I didn't want to stop watching 7. We watched 7 in, like, 3 different parts. We watched, like, all of the... Or, no, 4 parts. I think we watched each movie.
Like, in half. In, like, 2. They're just long. It's hard to do at night, too. Like, there was one night I was like, it's 11 o'clock.
We were halfway through the second one, and you were like, I want to go to bed, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, I don't want to go to bed. I don't care if
it's... I couldn't keep my eyes open. Well, is there anything else you want to mention about our Harry Potter journey? Is there another series that you would want us to watch from start to beginning, not considering Twilight? Because, duh, we're going to do that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Batman the Animated Series.
No, I mean, like, a movie series. Like, what's a movie series that maybe, like, I haven't seen any of that you would want to watch?
I would want to watch?
You know what I kind of would want to do? And I don't know if you'd be in... No, I really would like to rewatch Lord of the Rings.
I want to watch The Hobbit.
I'm nervous about The Hobbit because I heard they're not that great.
I did too, but I haven't seen them. And I love Lord of the Rings. I would do Lord of the Rings, but I also want to do Hobbit.
We could do, like, Lord of the Rings have their own episode, and maybe, like, a 4th episode on The Hobbit, because I don't know if it's worth breaking down, because
It is one book.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would do that.
I'm down, maybe it's happening.
We still got to do our Twilight versus Turbo Kid episode, though.
Well, I was winning that one.
Twilight.
Turbo Kid. Second word. But no, I really liked Harry Potter. I was kicking my... After I saw the 6th movie, I'm pretty sure I said it last episode. I've been kicking myself that I haven't finished it because I really liked it.
I genuinely, like, I would recommend, like, I want to go back and listen to them on audiobooks now. Like, I know we have the physical books, but just, like, with working, it's easier to, like, listen to them. I definitely would either recommend reading them or just, like, listening to the audiobooks. I don't know if they took it off, but Spotify did, like, a special thing when, like, COVID started where they had actors that were either in the Harry Potter franchise or, like, famous actors start reading the first book and was offered for free on Spotify. So you can listen to, like, Daniel Radcliffe did a part, David Tennant did a part. So you could do that. You could listen to the first one. Because, like, there's just so much that you miss.
It's true. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, little stuff that gets cut out. It does culminate and is pretty important.
Or just, like, even, like, fun side stories that, like, just get cut out. I would definitely recommend listening to them or reading them. Yeah. We'll see. We'll come back 1 year from today and see if Evan has done this. Oof. I vote no.
I also vote. I'm probably going to forget. But anyway.
Well, we're going to time travel back to 1963 and talk about season 2 of The Umbrella Academy.
Hope everybody is prepared for rain with their umbrellas when they're going to school at the academy. Yeah, I'm fired. We'll see y'all in a minute. Welcome back, all you cool cats and kittens. We're going to be kicking off our discussion of Season 2 Umbrella Academy right now.
Fun fact, Umbrella Academy Season 1 was the first TV show we reviewed.
It was, and it was so good.
Yeah.
And look at here we are, a year?
Like a year and a half later.
Yeah. That was February of last year.
Yeah, and now we're here.
Season 2. I liked it as much as maybe even a little bit more than Season 1. I like them, or maybe I like them both for different reasons.
Yeah, I think, like, kind of the same thing, like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, talk about every episode, but I think the one thing, not to start off with, like, negative, but the one thing I didn't like is, like, and I mentioned this to you, is it's, again, a season where, like, they have to protect Vanya, and not protect, well, like, stop her from doing something.
That's the problem.
And I'm not mad about it, because, like, if you just look at season two, like, pretend that Vanya didn't do anything to, like, trigger anything in season one, like, it's a great season, like, A+, like, I love it, but if you look at, like, the great season one and then the great season two, like, together, like, bookends, or, like, books next to each other, you're like, okay, so is it always gonna be about, like, every season culminates in, like, Vanya and her them stopping them? Because it's gonna get real old.
We'll do a high, I'm gonna do high-level overview of this season, and we can get into that. Because I hear
your high-level overview. Go.
It started 1963 when Umbrella Academy traveled back in time because the world was going to end because Vanya blew up the moon and it was crashed into the Earth. So starts all six, technically seven of the siblings because Ben is a ghost, but Klaus can still see him and travels with him. They're sent back to the 60s. I think even... the 50s. It's a little great. They're over the span of a few years.
It was like 1961 to 1963.
Okay, so it was just those two. So all of the siblings are dropped off in this alley in different times. And the TLDR for this season is they need to get back together at the same time because 5 is going to try to get them back to the time that they should be in. And also, what is his name? The guy from that other show.
Oh, the one that was like the bad guy last year?
Oh,
I'll look it up. Let me look it up.
But anyway, 5 is clued in by this. I'm kicking myself because I really like this character too.
I'm looking it up. You go.
5 is clued in that the apocalypse.
Hazel. Yes.
Okay. Hazel tells 5 that the apocalypse is still going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? They left it to try to fix it.
Exactly.
It's still
going
to happen in like 10 days from when he meets Hazel.
Yeah, it's like pretty quickly.
And pretty much the whole season revolves around 5 trying to figure out how to get back, which involves two main things. They find Hargreaves, their dad, in that timeline, try to get help from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also try to get help, reluctant help, from the handler from season
one.
She did not die, fun fact, surprisingly enough. Shot in the head, and probably do it, but didn't hear. She offers to give Five a suitcase, which is the time travel mechanism in this universe, if Five kills all of the board of directors for the commission, so the handler can take power again, which he does, and it was a bad choice.
Yeah.
So basically, the whole season revolves around everyone's lives that they've had once they were dropped off. You know, Klaus became a cult leader because he's just, like, quoting different songs and stuff from, like, the 80s. Allison gets married and is a civil rights activist. Luther becomes a boxer and works for Jack Ruby. Vanya gets hit by a car and loses her memories, and she ends up living on a farm with Sissy, who's the woman that hit her with a car.
Yeah.
And they become GFFs, greatest friends forever, and also girlfriends.
Yeah.
Diego goes to a nut house because he's a nut. And
he basically is like, I think he lands like a year before the Kennedy assassination. He's like, they're going to kill Kennedy! And everyone's like, you need to calm down. And he's like, they're going to kill Kennedy!
He's like insane about it, which is really funny. And then, yeah, and Five, of course, who lands after everyone and just knows that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're all, you know, bopping around, doing stuff. Hazel dies, sad. The handler, turns out that she has a daughter, Lila.
Yeah.
Who is also, spoiler alert, Lila is also a super-powered person.
Who was born on the same day as everyone else in 1989.
So I think there was like 60-something people.
I think there was 43. 43. I don't know why that number sticks out to me. Number 43. But it feels right.
There was more than seven, which is not Hargreaves' babies that he bought.
Yeah, I think there was 43.
Yeah. And it turns out that, in a very convoluted way, the handler had Five kill Lila's parents so the handler could get Lila and then raise her as her own.
Because what's her superpower?
Her superpower is everyone's superpowers.
She can, has the best. She essentially, like, absorbs them and, like, fights it off with them.
Yeah, she basically copies.
Yeah, she's a copy-paste.
She's, like, Rogue from X-Men, except she doesn't necessarily drain their powers.
She goes Control-C, Control-V.
Yeah, exactly. She could just, like, yep, do whatever.
Copy-paste,
like, yeah. It was really funny, especially with the whole... In the final episode, there's a scene where Allison tries to use the I Heard a Rumor thing on her, and she starts, and then Lila's like, you stop breathing, and it's like, oh, no! Stinky!
Yeah.
But no, I really like the season, but I get what you're saying about Vanya, because the first half to three-fourths of the season is
basically... You don't think it's going to be that.
Nobody really knows where Vanya is, and then they sort of know, but they think she's still evil, but Vanya doesn't know who she is, and then Diego figures out that the world ends because Vanya blows up an FBI building because she's held captive, and they think that she's a Russian, or the FBI thinks that Vanya is a Russian spy. Her name's a little Russian.
Yeah.
But luckily, they fix that. The way it works is that, you know, Diego goes to the commission because after the handler takes power, the handler's daughter, Lila, is the head of security. Lila has a huge lady crush on Diego. Diego comes. Diego goes to the see everything that's going on in all parallel universes room, and then he figures out that Vanya is the reason behind everything, so then he goes and stops it with the help of Alice and Klaus, and more specifically, Ben, because Ben, the ghost, is the most useful member of the Umbrella Academy, perhaps the first one to do some real good.
Yeah.
We find out a little bit more about Ben's sad backstory.
Yeah, essentially, Ben finally passes on in the season, like, after helping Vanya. He, like, essentially goes in her head and is like, it's gonna be okay, like, talks her down, and then he's like, I can pass on now.
It was really sad.
I know, but we're not gonna see the last of him.
Oh, yeah.
Because, so, here's the thing about time travel.
Causes a problem.
Butterfly effect.
I said this to Nicole the second the thing ended. You never go back in time and tell someone about their future, because... I mentioned earlier.
You step on a leaf, it crinkles.
That's right.
Wrinkles time.
They went back, and when they were in the 60s, they tried to ask Hargreaves for
help. Reginald Hargreaves is his last name. Reginald's his first name. Yeah.
So they asked Reggie for help. And by asking Reggie for help, they tell him about his future, which inherently changes the future. So at the end of the very last scene, they're back in their house, you know, the Hargreaves estate, and they're like, Reginald's alive, which is a little weird.
Yeah. Because
they arrived back in 2019 when he was already dead.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're back in the Umbrella Academy, and he's like, LOL, no, this is Sparrow Academy, and then Ben's there and alive, and not a ghost.
And he's number one.
Yes.
And there's six others. And I love this, and I was like, why would Ben be there? But then I realized he never met Ben. He thought there was only six he adopted, so he, like, because he never met Ben in the 60s, when, like, Ben was probably born, he's like, well, I never met him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like...
He's like, oh, yeah. I didn't know. Like,
Yeah. I'm very intrigued. I'm really hopeful for season three. I want to know more about why Ben died, because I don't think we've figured out...
Yeah, we don't know the actual reason yet. We only know, like, he died on a mission. That's about
I would like to know more about that. I would like to know more if, like, they can fix this timeline. Like, is it just, like, permanent now, or can it be fixed? I think that'd be question number two. Question number three... It's more of a statement more than, like, a question, but, like, I swear to God, if it's Vanya behind door number three again, like, I'm not watching the show.
They resolve that, though.
I'm just saying. I don't have a lot of faith, because...
Why don't you have a lot of faith?
What do you mean they resolved it?
She's not crazy anymore.
Honey, she still has the powers.
Yeah, the powers didn't make her crazy.
I'm not saying that, but, like... She can still, how do we know she just doesn't get her period one day and gets angry and is like, rah, and kills the whole world?
I don't think she'd do that.
I don't know that, though.
I don't think that's who Ellen Page is.
Okay, well, you and your BFF Ellen can talk about this, but I'm just saying if it's that again, I'm not watching it, and I hope it's not that. Also, this is probably the TV series with the best soundtrack ever. Like, so they just, I don't know, they pick, like, the perfect songs, like, from every genre of music, every, like, era, as far as, like, what time period they came out. If you listen to, watch this show, you're guaranteed to, like, at one point be like, I love this song. Or, like, they're just perfect.
So good.
And they're so random. What was that random song that you knew? You were like, I used to listen to this in high school. I don't remember because I had never heard of it. But they played a Backstreet Boys song, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, and I was very happy for that.
I
wasn't
really tuned in on that one. That I
love. I don't know. You were like, I didn't know what it was, and you're like, I used to listen to this in high school.
It was a real jammer, too.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what it was or what it sounded like, so that's a mystery for another day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch the whole series to find out that song.
All right, it was like in the second half of this.
Yeah, it was near the end. I think it was like the eighth.
Yeah, it was like almost towards the end. I will look up the soundtrack list, and once I see it, I'm sure I'll remember this is the one you knew. But I think that's all we have for this episode. So before we wrap up, I want to remind you, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, both at Experts Podcast, because we are going to take a break, like we said, for a couple weeks, and you're not going to want to miss when we come back. Also, we're still going to post fun content. The Instagram content, the Facebook content, that's not going away. We're just not going to have new episodes.
Content, we got it. New episodes, TBD. Also, in addition to our Lord of the Rings and Hobbit extravaganza we'll be having down the line after we do Twilight versus Turbo Kid, if anyone has any suggestions, anybody has anything they want us to review, as long as it's TV or a movie and not like a Barbie doll or something, please feel free to let us know. We'll be happy. I would even review a Barbie doll, maybe. Let us know what you want. The people.
The people, the listeners, you. We appreciate you. We do this for you. And signing off, but only for a little bit. We'll see you guys in the future.
Thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to like our Facebook page through our link in the show notes or by searching We Like to Say We're Experts on Facebook. See you next time.